Small crowd today. Anyway, good morning. Good to see everybody today. Yeah, I didn't much count on this either. He called me about 6 o'clock last night and said he was down and getting worse. So we need to pray. Hope he gets better soon. And I've been kind of an absentee around here for the last several weeks, and I realize that, but I happen to be a landowner in Florida. And sometimes when you're a landlord and problems crop up, you go down to take care of them. And I'll give you good advice. If you want to be a landlord, don't be one that's 8 hours drive away. Pick one that's close by. Anyway, I kind of swapped the sermons that I was going to give because it was going to be a 30-minute sermon. So I pulled one out that I had given to another group at one time, one of the small independent groups called and asked if I'd give a sermon. I thought I might have given it here, but I've asked several people and they said no. So I thought I would go ahead and give that one today. The title, for all of you like titles, Are You Still Drinking Milk? Are You Still Drinking Milk? By the way, if anybody'd like to give a sermonette, I'd be happy to step off and get a sermonette first. Any volunteers? Oh, well. Nice try. Mike? Nope. Said no. Anyway, like I said, are you still drinking milk? You know, when Paul was trying to explain a lot of things about Christ to the people, he was out talking to the people, and they just didn't understand. So this is what he had to say to them in Hebrews 5, and beginning in verse 11. Again, that's Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 11. He said, concerning whom we have much to say and hard to explain, he says, since you have become dull of hearing, for truly by this time you ought to be teachers. But instead, you need to have someone teach you again what the beginning principles of the oracles of God and have become those in need of milk and not of solid food. He said, for everyone who is partaking of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness because he is an infant. Verse 14, but solid food is for those who are fully grown and through repeat practice have had their senses trained to discern between good and evil. They didn't understand. They didn't understand what some of the teachings. Anyway, an interesting concept of comparing milk to solid food. Now, we obviously know here that he's talking about spiritual food. In other words, they're not getting the nourishment needed to grow spiritually. You know, think about that. As newborn babies, you know, we're nourished by our mother's milk. And I just recently went down where I've got a great-granddaughter in Dothan, Alabama, and obviously still being breastfed, very young, and arms and legs have to be this big. I'm telling you, she looks like a sumo wrestler. It's amazing. She is a beautiful young lady, but she's getting that natural milk, which is necessary for growth. You know, we eventually are given some soft foods because we really, when we first start, we don't have teeth. That's probably a blessing for the mother, by the way. But eventually, we are all fed solid food and meat to support our growth into becoming mature adults. We can't just stay on milk. You won't grow. So spiritually speaking, Paul is obviously referring to the Word of God here. We can't just learn the basic truths of God's Word and then stop growing. That's what happens if you continue drinking milk. We need to be fed solid food or meat. Now, when we first come into the church, all of us, we need to be fed as spiritual babes. That's required. because that's what we are. Peter refers to that in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 2. Again, that's 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. When this is what he tells us. He says, as newborn babes, yearn after the pure spiritual milk, that by it you might grow. But our growth cannot and should not stop there. In 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, Paul gives an example of people that were not growing because they were still carnal, they were still walking according to human ways. This is what he told them. At 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, he says, I gave you milk to drink and not meat, for you were not yet able to receive spiritual meat, and neither are you able now, for you're still carnal. You are still carnal, not growing, still living in the ways of the world, basically. Now, sooner or later, we need to be weaned from the milk, sooner or later. And in Isaiah 28, and beginning in verse 9, that's Isaiah 28, verse 9, Isaiah explains the process that we need to follow if we are to become fully mature Christians. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? And here's the process that must take place if we are to become mature Christians. Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's the process that we need to be taken as we mature and we grow. Now, if we grow spiritually, we must be drawn from the breast and consume solid spiritual food. That's a must. Our spiritual food is the Word of God. What happens when we learn the basics and then feel all we need to do is just attend church, listen to a sermon, maybe socialize a little bit, then just wait for the kingdom of God? Sounds good. The angel of the Ephesians church told them, he said, I have this against you, and that's, of course, Revelation 3. I have this against you, that you have left your first love, in other words, diligently studying the Word of God. He said, therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the first works. You know, like Peter said, that at the beginning we yearn for the pure spiritual milk. But we can't stop there or we won't grow. Again, in chapter 3 of Revelation, we're also told that the angel of the church of the Laodiceans told them that they were neither hot or cold. Neither hot or cold. They were just lukewarm. Hot meaning fired up for the truth, searching the Word of God. Or cold, just not being involved at all anymore. And he told them, be zealous and repent. You know, if we're to grow, we must be zealous and fired up for the Word of God. In Psalm 119, and beginning in verse 9, this is what we're told about the Word of God. It says, with what shall a young man cleanse his way? Notice this, by taking heed according to your word. And brethren, I tell you, we all have a lot of cleaning up to do. And we learn that from God's word. In verse 10, it says, with all my heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. If you're not studying, you're not reading it, you'll wander from the commandments. It's God's word that keeps us from going astray. Verse 11, your word I have laid up in my heart And for what purpose? Why? So that I might not sin against you. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. You know, we're taught when we study, when we meditate, when we pray, and we concentrate on the Word of God. Dropping down to verse 15, it says, I will meditate upon your precepts and have respect to your ways. And remember what we just read back in Isaiah 28:10. What do we read? Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. In other words, studying the Word of God. And it's an ongoing process. If we are to be fed and to grow, we must follow that process. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Food, your word. You know, if we're to grow spiritually, we must be fed solid food. And we only get that from the Word of God. Bottom line. You don't need to turn there, but in Proverbs 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. So how important is the Word of God? How important? Well, Jesus Christ, after fasting for 40 days, He was obviously weak and in need of food, and He was tempted by Satan. We're all familiar with that. Who told Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And I'm sure Jesus had the power to do exactly that. However, notice His response to Satan. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, spiritual food. So how important is the Word of God? How important? You know, everything in the Bible, everything is given to us for our instructions. And we're to be fed by it so that we can grow beyond milk. And we're instructed in 2 Timothy 3. We're instructed in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete. You have to be growing, may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Are you complete and fully equipped for every good work? Are you? Or do you still have room to grow? Are you eating solid food or are you still drinking milk? The Word of God is the solid food that we consume. And the more we study, the more we grow. So how important is spiritual food? How important? How important is it that we study and continue to grow? Jesus gave us the answer to that in the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And beginning in verse 18. That's Matthew 13, beginning of verse 18. And this is what he had to say. He said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one sown by the way. You know, this one kind of reminds me of my kids, when all my kids were young. You know, and I would try and correct my kids or tell them something that they didn't want to hear. Put their hands over their ears. I don't hear it. I don't hear it. I don't want to hear it. But Jesus gave us the answer again as he continues on. This is that they didn't even want spiritual milk, that particular group. Now in verse 20, now the one who was sown on rocky places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But because he has no root in himself, he does not endure. For when the tribulations or the persecution arises because of the word, he is quickly offended. We will deal with those kind of problems. We will deal with tribulation and persecution. Now, this is the one that never got beyond milk. Never got beyond milk. And got offended by the things that he just didn't want to hear. He didn't have roots, and he didn't want to change. Verse 22. And the one who was sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This is the one that just doesn't want to come out of the world. I want to stay part of the world. I'm not giving up the things of the world. In other words, I have to give up too much to abide by solid spiritual food. Verse 23, but the one who was sown on good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands and indeed brings forth fruit and produces. One, 100-fold, another 60-fold, another 30-fold. Brethren, this is the one that was weaned from the milk and consumed solid spiritual food by studying the Word of God. Now we must grow, as we stated earlier, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Okay? There's a little until fully mature. Now James makes it very clear that it is the implanted Word of God that saves us from this evil world. This is what he had to say in chapter 1, James chapter 1, and verse 21. Therefore, having rid yourself of all filthiness and all the abounding of wickedness around you, then in meekness accept for yourself the implanted word of God, which is able to save your lives. Notice it's the implanted word of God, the spiritual food that gives us a life. But we can't just be hearers of the word, but doers. Verse 22, then be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving your own selves. And then dropping down to verse 25, but the one who has looked into the perfect law of freedom and has continued in it, this one himself has not become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one shall be blessed in his actions. You want to be blessed in your actions? Do you study the Word of God? Do you start practicing what you learn? I'm going to tell you sometimes, without going into names, and I've heard this from several people over the years, but sometimes I hear members in the churches of God say that they don't want to hear all this negative stuff in the Bible. I don't want to hear all this negative stuff. It's just too depressing. Too depressing. I want smooth things. Think about that a minute. Let's not deal with any of the negative stuff in the Bible. Just get rid of it. We could start with Genesis, where Cain slew Abel, too negative. How about the days of Noah, where God set out to destroy all life? Oh, way too much doom and gloom for me. I don't know about you. We can't read that. We could move on to Sodom and Gomorrah. But once again, much too much doom and gloom. I don't want to hear that stuff. We could certainly ignore Deuteronomy 28, and I'm not going to go into Deuteronomy 28, but if you start in verse 15 and read forward all the things that are going to happen on people that do not follow the Word of God, look at all the bad things that are going to happen to the nations that refuse to keep God's laws and the statutes. Way, way too much negative stuff for me. Then we will have to ignore all the prophets. Got to ignore the prophets. Way too much gloom and doom there. How about the very word of Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 24? oh, it's much too scary to read and talk about. Then we got Peter and Jude, and they all discuss the consequences of not repenting and keeping God's commandments. Negative stuff. Then there's Paul's letter to Timothy where he says, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Not a very pretty picture and too negative for my blood. And let's not ignore 2 Thessalonians. I'm not going to go into that either, but go read it. Way too negative. And finally, let's not read the book of Revelation. Certainly don't want to go into that. It's filled with way too much gloom and doom. Way too much. Well, we've just eliminated a huge portion of the Bible, God's Word. Let's face it, if you only want to be taught smooth things, you are still drinking milk. You're still drinking milk. You know, we live in a crazy world, and a lot of negative things are taking place before our very eyes. I know I said earlier today to somebody, this is certainly not the world that I grew up in, I can tell you that. Now, I'm a little older than a lot of you, but I'm going to tell you, it's getting kind of scary out there. We were talking about that outside, actually, before service. We must read and study and meditate on all the Word of God if we are to grow and we are to mature. Going back to Matthew 24 for just a moment, even though it's got that negative stuff in there, but let's read what Jesus had to say about keeping up with world conditions. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 42. Beginning in verse 42. He said, watch therefore, because you do not know in what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have been watching and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. He's coming at a time that you do not think. Who then is that faithful and wise servant who his Lord has set over his household to give them food, spiritual food, give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. That's amazing. We have to live and breathe the Word of God. We cannot and should not ignore all the unpleasant warnings that God has given us in his Word. We learn and we grow as we see many of these things take place. When we see prophecy starting to take place, we grow. Now, Paul warned Timothy that there would come a time when people would rather not hear the truth at all. That's in 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, and beginning in verse 3, where he warned Timothy, he said that, for there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own lust shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having ears itching to hear what satisfies their cravings. Just teach me smooth things. In other words, teach me the things that I'd like to hear. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their own ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside into myths. I saw a lot of that happen in a previous church of God that I belonged to many years ago, and some of you probably as well. We live in very negative times, and the truth is not always pleasant. It's not. I get it. And I hate the direction that this whole world is heading and where it's turning right now. But we can't hide from reality. And we need to be aware of that prophecy is being fulfilled. The good news of all this, the good news is God's kingdom is going to come, but not before a lot of other events take place. How would you know about those events if you don't study the Word of God, all the negative things? We need to be prepared. Some will, some won't. Christ gave us the perfect example of that in Matthew 25. Again, that's Matthew 25 and beginning in verse 1. Now, we're familiar with this particular scripture, but in verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom be compared to the 10 virgins who took their lampstand. They went out to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise. 5 were foolish. The ones who were foolish took their lamps, but they didn't take oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels along with their lamps. Now when the bridegroom was gone a long time, they all became drowsy and they slept. But in the middle of the night, there was a cry, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him.'" Again, we're familiar with this. "Then all the virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there not be enough for us and for you. But instead, go to those who sell and buy for yourself.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and he said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" Now, all of this about the virgins was given to us for one important reason. And he makes that clear in verse 13. Verse 13 comes really clear. He says in verse 13, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Are you watching events? Are you prepared? You know, just one chapter earlier, Jesus told us in Matthew 24 and in verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 36, he said, "But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." We don't know. This is the same day he was referring to in chapter 25 when he told us to watch for his coming. Then in verse 27, he tells us what condition that the world would be in at that time. And it scares me when I look at the world we live in today. It says, "Now, as it was in the days of Noah," and we don't know all the details, but it was so awful and so terrible, God couldn't handle it anymore. "I'm going to wipe humanity out. So shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man." We don't know what those days were like, but we know that it was corrupt, so corrupt that God would destroy all human life. Of course, we know the story. With the exception of Noah, he was a righteous man, and he allowed him and his family. Are we getting close to that now? Are we? How do you think God feels about abortions? Up to the day of birth nowadays, modifying the human DNA, transgenders, marriages between two men or two women. How about the violence? We talked about that out front. And God himself taken out of society. He's taken out of society. When I was a kid, we still had morning prayer in school. Can't do that anymore. We can't do those things. What was it like at the time of Noah? We don't know, but we are to watch and we are to be prepared. So how do we watch? How do we prepare for these things? By listening to only the smooth things we like to hear? No, we need to study all the words of God and eat solid spiritual food. We yearn for the milk, but we need to progress to solid food. Notice just how important Peter considers the Word of God. I'm going to begin in chapter 1. Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, where it says, but the entire, chapter 14, but the entire chapter is significant to understanding the importance of the Word of God. That's why I'm starting there. It says, as obedient children to God, we are all children. We are His children. It says, do not conform yourself to your former lusts as you did in your ignorance. We came out of that. In other words, the way that we lived before we received the Word of God. But according as He who has called you is holy, He says, you yourself be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, you be holy because I am holy. You know, our previous conduct in the ways of the world needs to be gone, eliminated, taken out. Verse 17, and if you call upon the Father who judges all according to each man's work without respect of persons, pass the time of your life's journey in the fear of God, knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things, by silver or gold, from your futile way of living, inherited by tradition from your forefathers. It all moved on down. We all received the law of sin and death, starting with Adam and Eve. But by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sakes, even for you who through Him do believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope might be in God. And notice, this is where it gets really important, verse 22. Having purified your lives by obedience to the truth. By obedience to the truth. Where do you get the truth? The Word of God. Unto unfeigned brotherly love through the Spirit. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Brethren, all this is instruction on how we are to live after our conversion and receiving the Word of God. And notice in verse 23, the importance of God's Word. Verse 23, for you have been begotten again, not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed by the living Word of God, which remains forever. All of our spiritual growth comes from the Word of God. All of our spiritual growth. And it continues in verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all the glory of man is like the flower of the field. The grass has withered, and its flower has fallen away. Beginning in chapter 2, moving on to chapter 2 and verse 1, he tells us what we are to do as babes following the Word of God. Babes are drinking milk. He says, therefore, having put away all wickedness, all deceit, all hypocrisies and jealousies and all slanders. And then in verse 2, as we read earlier, he tells us how to get there. And we read this earlier. As newborn babes, you yearn after the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. But we are not to remain babes, but to grow into solid spiritual food. If you're to continue to grow, and if you're to become what God expects you to become, you need to study and absorb the Word of God. Brethren, as I said, we live in some very difficult times. I don't think that anybody thinks otherwise. We're still dealing, by the way, we're still dealing with this COVID nonsense. It's gradually going away, but I know whenever I go to any medical facility, I went to a doctor, I guess, a week ago or 2 weeks, still got to wear masks. You got to do all that kind of stuff. A lot of places, they still won't let the kids go to school. We're watching our southern border being flooded with immigrants from all over the world. Is it beneficial? We certainly need to be compassionate and care. Can we take in the billions of people in the world that live in poverty and take care of all of them? Do we have the ability to do that? Like I said, some of these people are good, some are criminals, some are gang members, some are drug dealers. But we are to be compassionate, but the cost of dealing with all this care of all these people is overwhelming our financial system. That's why we're seeing inflation right now. We keep spending money and spending money and spending money, and that spending creates hyperinflation. I've been through it before. Anybody been around in the 1970s? They've been through this before. We're still facing shortages in our oil. So what are we doing? We're begging OPEC to pump more oil. Insane policies. We've been facing terrible fires on the West Coast. As a matter of fact, I just got a messenger on Facebook from my daughter, because one of my granddaughters out there is a great granddaughter. Boy, I tell you, I lose track. Getting married. But she's in an area where one of those wildfires has just taken over. And of course, I heard this morning that a hurricane hit the San Diego area and flooded. Has anybody ever been to San Diego? Interstate 8 flooded out, had to shut it down, Interstate 8. I used to go to work back and forth on that many a time. We're seeing a collapse of our power. When we look at what took place in Afghanistan, are we still the power of the world? Now, I could go on and on and on with all these problems, but the question is, how do we deal with all these issues? We know that Satan and his demons are actively working to bring on the chaos and to prevent us from reaching God's kingdom. Satan does not want anybody in this room to make it to God's kingdom. That's his goal. How would you like to fight this battle? Do you want to fight it as infants drinking milk or as warriors eating solid food? Which way would you rather go? Well, we're given the answer to that by the Word of God. We can go to Ephesians 6 again, familiar scriptures, but we go to Ephesians 6. What do we do? What do we do? Beginning in verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. And we can only do that if we're eating solid food, we're weaned from the breast and eating solid food. And in the might of his strength. And it tells you to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You cannot do that as an infant. You must be a mature adult. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. We're not just fighting against each other or against humans. Like I said, Satan doesn't want any of us to make it. And in verse 13, it gives us the answer of how to deal with all this stress and all this turmoil, everything that we face. Here's the answer. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Are we facing evil days? And having worked out all things to stand. And brethren, we can only do that if we're fully mature eating solid food. The Word of God. Notice what he tells us in verse 17. He says, and put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Spiritual food, that's how we grow. It is the Word of God that protects us. You don't need to turn there, but to Psalm 18 and verse 30, just a short verse. Psalm 18 verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. Are we doing that? It is God's word that gives us hope. Psalm 130, and again, real quick quote, Psalm 130 and verse 5, we're told, I will wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. That's where our hope comes from. You know, when we first came into our relationship with God, we all needed to do what Peter told us to do, to drink the spiritual milk. It is the beginning process as infants to grow mature. All of us that have raised children, all of us that have raised grandchildren, all of us that have raised great-grandchildren, and I'm telling you, I couldn't even count them all anymore. There's so many of them. We have to watch them make that switch from drinking milk into maturity, solid food. We do the same thing spiritually as individuals in the church. But we cannot remain spiritual babes forever. We can't. Our ultimate goal is to become mature Christians. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, and in verse 20, he said, brethren, do not be children in your minds. He makes an exception when it comes to malice. He does do that when it comes to malice. He says, however, in regard to malice, be babes. It's okay there to be a babe. But in your mind, be fully mature. Ask yourself, are you fully mature? And are you growing? Are you eating solid food? You know, we can only do that if we continue eating that solid food, to be mature. That requires study, requires meditation, requires prayer. And we probably all fall short of that. I know I do many a time. So, brother, kind of in closing, if you're still drinking milk, it is time to move on to solid food and to be prepared and ready for the bridegroom. Are you ready for the bridegroom, the Son of Man? That day will come, and it may come at a time where none of us has any idea when it's going to happen. That's what we were told. So I pray that we all take it very seriously about the Word of God and studying, because that's the only way we become mature Christians. So, glad to be here. Glad to be back. Hope you all have a wonderful Sabbath day.